Hey, good morning, everybody. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show, starting up in just a few moments. Just getting into the studio now and getting the system fired up. So we got 2 full hours today of the program. So stick around. Don't turn that dial. We got a lot to get into. A lot to get off my chest. So stay tuned. There's more coming up in about 2 minutes. But for right now, enjoy Tribulations by LCD Sound System. And a pleasant good morning to you wherever you may be. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusfee Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org wherever you may be. However you may be listening to this show, part of your day or on demand on the Shukri Wright's podcast on iHeartRadio. Thank you for making the show part of your Wednesday morning or whenever you're listening to this show. For those that are going to be listening to this on demand. And shout out to my podcast listeners, because I rarely ever do that. And it's about time that I start showing them some love, because the people who listen to the show live, I appreciate you. And I always have in the nearly 4 years history of this show. I have always appreciated you. But now, the people who listen to the show on demand on the Shukri Wright podcast on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts, I got to show you some love as well. Number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. I'm here with you until 11 a.m. this morning, as I got a loaded program for you and there is a lot to talk about. Let's start with last night. The Celtics, they were in Philadelphia last night. And it was quite a game. It was a playoff-like game, but if we're being completely frank, it was clear that the Philadelphia Sixers needed that game more than the Boston Celtics needed that game. Because no matter what, one thing that we do know that is a formality at this point is that the Celtics, they're pretty much locked into the number two seed. So it doesn't matter what they did last night in terms of their season series against the 76ers, that was going to really make much of any difference. And funny enough, the Celtics, they were just off last night. They were just off. But I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm not disappointed. It was a game in which that, for a variety of reasons, I'm not worried one bit. If the Celtics and the 76ers are to meet in the playoffs, I'm not worried one bit, and neither should you. You know what last night reminded me of in the perspective of the 76ers? It was the perfect example of someone making a one last ditch effort to show a potential someone why they are worthy of being crowned. Why they are worthy of being given a prestigious honor. That's exactly what that was. If you think about it, Jaylen Brown didn't play last night. Jason Tatum was pedestrian at best. Your best player last night was Derek White, who looks more than ready for the NBA playoffs. I can tell you that right now. Playoff Derek White is ready. And if we all remember what playoff Derek White did last year in the Celtics' run to the NBA Finals, we know the Celtics are going to be in some pretty damn good spirits and in pretty damn good shape. But the 76ers, whom we all know, they've had this mental doubt for a while now. Can they beat the Celtics? And up until last night, the answer had been a resounding no. So the 76ers played pretty much their entire regular lineup, including Tobias Harris, who really has been the biggest piece of the puzzle, and I don't mean that in a good way, for the 76ers, meaning that guy has had more question marks than a questionable game of, I don't even remember the name of the game, and I'm drawing blanks at the moment, but the point is, he has been a major question mark for this team, for the 76ers, that is. It took Joel Embiid basically putting on a Superman costume and ripping it apart like he's Clark Kent and saying, Superman to the rescue. That's basically what that was. Joel Embiid, who I've said before time and time again, that's my dude. That's my favorite player in the NBA. Yes, I know I'm a Celtics fan, but how dare I like a 76er? Joel Embiid is that good. He's that guy. He's that good. But the truth is this. Last night, Joel Embiid was extraordinary. Celtics didn't even play their best game at all last night. And yet, somehow, some way, they came awfully close of stealing a season sweep of the 76ers. Which is why, even this morning, if you're just waking up and you're just tuning into the show, if you're a Celtics fan this morning, you should have absolutely no worries at all. If, let's say, for example, Celtics win round one and they somehow draw up the Philadelphia 76ers in round two, let's say if, you shouldn't be worried at all. And I'm going to give you the reasons why. Number one, the 76ers needed a Joel Embiid to play like a Superman last night. He's not going to make, let's say, 80% of his shots on a given night, especially in the playoffs. That's not going to happen. And you want to know why that's not going to happen? A large part of that is because Rob Williams guarding Joel Embiid is not having the kind of night that he had last night, scoring 52 points. That's not going to happen. So a healthy Robert Williams guarding Joel Embiid is not having the success that he had last night. And the 76ers are not having the kind of offensive night that they had last night, which also includes, by the way, the performance of PJ Tucker. Because also, the second time this season, he hit three-pointers. So he was, I wouldn't say killing it from beyond the arc, but I would say that he was hitting the three-pointers when he needed to hit them. And we all remember P.J. Tucker when he was with Milwaukee a couple of years ago, last year with the Miami Heat, how vital of a role player that he is, especially in the playoffs. We all know that. But the Sixers got what they needed from Joel Embiid, a superhuman effort. PJ Tucker, on the other hand, yay. He was basically the side dish of a main course entree last night. That's what he was. And then, oh, by the way, also, Jason Tatum. I mentioned earlier that he was not good last night. He was very subpar, and that's putting it mildly. To be brutally honest, I thought he was pretty mediocre. But I'm not going to completely trash Jason Tatum, because there was a number of reasons why the Celtics lost last night. And it all doesn't fall on the shoulders of Jason Tatum. That's lunacy if you're going to try to draw up that reason as to why the Boston Celtics lost the game last night. That's idiocy. No. You want to know another reason why the Celtics lost last night? Here's a take for you. The 76ers had something to lose. The Celtics, on the other hand, they had nothing to lose last night, except in the win and loss column. But I have said this on the Believe in a Hub of Champions podcast, which, by the way, you can check out the episode from yesterday on iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcast, after this show, of course. I mentioned that the Celtics are pretty much locked in to that number two seed. They're not getting the number one seed in the East. That's pretty much a wrap. I don't see it happening. And then on top of that, Celtics were a little banged up last night. Jaylen Brown, he was out with a back injury. He was nursing a back issue. Robert Williams, he was out. Two huge pieces that were out of last night's game for the Celtics, who otherwise, if they had played, would have been huge factors in the game. But during the course of a best of seven series, if both of those guys are ready to go and ready to roar, you know, and I know, for those that watch basketball and follow the Celtics closely, you know that the Celtics are beating the 76ers in a seven-game series, especially if they're firing on all cylinders. And I'm talking offensively. Jason Tatum is in a groove. Jaylen Brown usually does his thing, does what he does best. He plays well offensively, and he defends like he normally does. And a healthy Robert Williams, who we all know is the biggest difference maker on the Boston Celtics. I don't think it's Jason Tatum. I don't think it's Jaylen Brown. I don't think it's Grant Williams. I don't think it's Derek White. It's Robert Williams. He's the biggest difference maker, because when he's on the court, you and I know that he is the game changer. He is the backbreaker for opponents. You've seen it time and time again. That's why last night's game against the Sixers for the Celtics, I'm not upset about at all. If anything else, I think it would have been fair to say that you could expect this team to lose. I mean, were you wrong? No, I don't think I was wrong in expecting them to lose. Was I rooting for them to lose? No, obviously not. No. But considering the circumstances, considering what needed to go right for the 76ers, I wasn't going to be upset. The Celtics, we all know, they are a better team. The 76ers, there's no question that they have talent on that roster. Tyrese Maxwell, Tobias Harris, PJ Tucker, Joel Embiid, of course, that goes without saying. But, Tyrese Maxey, rather, excuse me. But, however, if we're talking about the fact that this Celtics team is deeper, it's not even close. They're deeper. They're more efficient. You needed Joel Embiid to carry the team on its shoulders the way that Rocky needed to carry his own weight running up the steps in Philadelphia. That's what that was. You're not going to get that in a seven-game series consistently against this Celtics team when they're fully healthy. Come on. It's not going to happen. But you know, I will end this segment on this point here. The only thing that I do think that the Celtics do need to figure out, and figure out in very short order is, in case of a potential Eastern Conference semifinal series, how to better contain Joel Embiid. And I think a lot of it will come down to the health of Robert Williams, because there's no one else, in my opinion, on this Celtics roster that I can look at and say, you know what, that guy can defend Joel Embiid and shut him down. May not completely shut him down, but at the very least, limit his effectiveness on the court. I don't see it. The only guy that I know that can do that is Robert Williams. And he's the wild card in all this. Call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show, as I'm here with you until 11 a.m. this morning here on 91.5 FM. WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, I got a thought for you for something that I haven't touched on just yet. And it does have something to do with the Red Sox. No, it has nothing to do with the on-field, but something that caught my eye. But I want to tell you exactly what that is. Coming up next here on the other side of the break, this is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusby, from radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org.
The way I describe it for people is, my dad shot himself and the bullet hit everyone in his life. It was a week before my 30th birthday, and I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
I am Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Yeah. You are my fire. The one desire, believe when I say I want it that way. But we are two worlds apart, can't reach to your heart when you say I want it that way. Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a mistake. Tell me why.
I
desire. You are.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFL in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Here with you live until 11 a.m. this morning here on 91.5 FM WMFO. Call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I'm taking your phone calls on the Celtics last night as they fall to the Philadelphia 76ers 103-101. And they're back home tonight at TD Garden for the first of a back-to-back. It's not a home-and-home, it's back-to-back. They play tonight and Friday night against the Toronto Raptors at TD Garden. So I want to shift gears here while I still can and talk about the Red Sox for a moment, because there is something interesting that's happening with this team, and it's not so much as on the field. More on that later in the show. But Fenway Park is doing something that I never thought that I would see in my lifetime. And I know things change and things evolve with time. Nothing stays the same forever. That's just the number one rule in life, if we're being completely honest. But this one here is something that I never thought I would end up seeing. I've noticed, and I'm sure this has been a talking point in the city of Boston and across the Boston metro region, as well as New England, whenever the Red Sox hit a home run, they do this thing now with the lights where it's like it's flashing. And I know that they installed like these new LED lights during the offseason. At one point, there was a video that was posted. It was courtesy of WCVB News Center 5, which for those that are listening outside of Boston, that's ABC5 locally here in Boston, of helicopters installing the LED lights on the light towers at Fenway Park. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, cool. You know, they're getting new lights, you know, like make the field seem brighter, especially when they're playing night games and so forth. All right, cool. But what I noticed was whenever a Red Sox player would hit a home run, it seems like they do this rotational thing between the LED lights, depending on whatever light tower that it's at. It's like almost in working in sync that they'll just, you know, they have it bright and then they'll have it low and then they'll do this flashing thingy or whatever. Like, I'm trying my best to explain it. And if you haven't seen it, YouTube a video of it, or just go to any game within the last few days that the Red Sox have played at Fenway Park in which that they've hit a home run. And you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But what I noticed is that light that is flashing, and as well as that is doing these weird things where it'll make the field look bright. It'll go dim, not completely dark, but it'll go really dim. And like, it's like, what the heck is this? Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to hate on it, but it's idiocy. Like, why? Like, forgive me if I'm wrong, But doesn't this potentially cause someone to possibly have an epileptic seizure? Something like that? Like, something to along those lines where it could have an adverse effect on someone that may be watching it, especially at the ballpark? I mean, I don't know. Is it just me? Am I the only crazy one that thinks this? Because I'm all for upgrading the ballpark. I'm all for making improvements to Fenway Park, which is well over 110 years old at this point. To be exact, they're playing in its 112th season at Fenway Park now. But don't you think you ought to be a bit careful with these lights? And the only thing that I've heard so far as to why they did this or why they do it is, well, we want to make it a bit more interesting for the home team. How? Because I think of specifically Saturday when Adam Duvall hit that unlikely walk-off home run against the Baltimore Orioles. And I can't for the life of me understand what exactly was I supposed to have gotten from seeing this exactly? What was I supposed to have gotten from watching what otherwise would have been a special moment turn into some sort of a disco night at Fenway Park? That's exactly what it was. So I'm going to play for you exactly what it sounded like on Saturday. This is courtesy of Nesson, Adam Duvall's walk-off homer against the Baltimore Orioles, Batista. Take it away.
Rep Snyder, the base runner. Swing and drive! This one deep! Oh, it's high up ball! That ball should be out! That ball should be out! That ball is out! It is gone! It is gone!
It's like they're playing these lights like 1 minute it's on, 1 minute it's off. They'll do this rotational thing like you will typically see on like a Jumbotron or something like that. At one point, I honestly thought, seeing the clip, that Fenway Park just went dark, like the lights just went out. Like, here you have a crowded stadium. You have a bunch of guys waiting at home plate, waiting for the hero, for the guy who hit the walk-off home run, obviously Adam Duvall I'm talking about. And it's like, hey, yo, where the lights go? Who turned off the lights? Like, I mean, can someone please call in and explain to me what makes it interesting? Like, why does that make the game day experience at Fenway Park all the more interesting? Like, don't you have enough already? You already have Sweet Caroline, for God's sakes, which I've made my feelings very publicly clear and known how I feel about that song, so there's no need for me to go down that rabbit hole. But now, you want to add flashing LED lights to the Red Sox home run celebration? Like, come on. What else do you possibly need? And I'm being honest.
It is gone. It's a walk-off for the Red Sox.
I'm watching this again, and I'm trying to see for the life of me, like, the ball clearly went over the Green Monster. Kudos. But that's not what I'm going to remember that moment for. What I'm going to remember that moment for is the first time in 2023 you saw the effects of the LED lights at Fenway Park, and the only thing that came to mind is, what the heck is going on? Why are the lights flashing or going in this circular motion around the perimeter of the ballpark and creating this temporary dark view of the field? I don't know. It just feels weird. And I know I don't mind if I sound like a complete hater. I'm not a hater, but I'm being honest. We have way too many distractions. Add the LED lights. Fine. Great. Go ahead. By all means. But can we stop with the whole disco feel of let's party like it's Saturday night? Like, no. No. If you want to do, like, the flashy, sure, okay, fine. But this whole, like, make the light go on and go off, like move the lights in a circular motion. It's almost as if like it's, why are we doing this? Is this really a point of necessity? Like, I know there are people that are there, the young crowd that are going to really enjoy it. Like, we love it. Oh my God, it's totally rocks. Yeah. But no, I'm sitting here like, no. If TD Garden suddenly did something like that, whenever like a player scored a goal for the Boston Bruins, or whenever a Celtics player hits like a big shot, whether if it's a big two-pointer or especially a three-pointer at that, that ties the game or puts the team ahead or something like that, I'd lose it. I'd completely lose it. Like, we're going so far down the road of extreme that it just seems like we're losing what's actually truly important. If you got thoughts on the Celtics game from last night, if you got thoughts on the LED lights at Fenway Park, do you like it or not? Yay or nay? Let me know your thoughts. 855-915-WMFL, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the program as we are here with you live until 11 a.m. this morning. So we are going to take another break. And when we return, there is a question that did come up recently. And I think it's actually worth talking about. And I want to tell you exactly what that is coming up next on the other side of this break. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFL in Medford, Tufts Free Form Radio.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Yo, listen up. Here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue. Like him inside and outside. Blue his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, cause he ain't got nobody to listen.
I'm blue, I've a need, I've a die, 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 I've a need, I've a die.
Welcome back to the Sugar Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Sus Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. We're in April, folks. I know, I am so late to the party. Wah, I am so late. Thank you for telling this after the fact shoe. Wah. Like, the last show we did was obviously back in March. But now that we're in early April, it is amazing to me how things are now starting to bloom and come to life, especially in this new season of ours called spring. And I'm ready. I'm ready for the warmer days, and I'm ready for the milder temperatures that we started to get already. Yesterday was actually quite lovely. And obviously that being a sign of what's to come, summer hasn't even arrived yet. But I always love that time of year where the weather is, it's a little chilly, but it's starting to break out of the cold, dark atmosphere into something a bit more warm, inviting, and promising. You know what I mean? That's what I actually enjoy. And that's kind of like where we are like heading towards right now as we speak. So, not to play the role of weatherman, but I'm going to anyway. Today's high is going up to 50 degrees. And tomorrow it's going to be, it's going to be raining. It's going to be a 50% chance of rain, but it's going up to 73 tomorrow. That's the kind of weather that I'm like, yes. And oh, by the way, in case if you didn't look at next week's forecast, we're going up to 65 Monday, next week Monday, 71 next week Tuesday, 77 next week Wednesday, 83 next week Thursday, God willing, and next Friday, we're going up to 87. So I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm ready. I'm ready for the hot weather. Like, let's go. Let's get it. Let's go. It's going to be that time again where it's going to get warm, and I'm all about it. Like, let's go. Just seeing that just now just actually just made me really happy. There's something about seeing warm temperatures that just gets me really fired up, and I'm like, all right. Let's go. We gotta get out of the house. We gotta get outside. Oh my God, I just remembered. I actually need to buy a brand new AC unit for my apartment. And right, I'm super excited for the warm weather. Don't get it twisted, but it's almost as if like, oh man, I forgot. The AC I had from last summer, done. Completely done. It's sitting on my back porch. At my apartment in Brookline. Like, I actually need to buy me a new AC unit. I don't think it'll be now, because it's still April. Maybe in May. Maybe. And I mean maybe. But we'll see. We'll see. So, warmer days ahead. And I had a thought, and it's been something that I have given some thought about recently. And with everything that is happening now, and that's going to be happening in the city of Boston in the next, how many days? In the next 11 days or so, now would be a good time to really kind of touch on it a little bit. And I want to talk about specifically what the atmosphere is going to be like in this city when the Bruins and the Celtics playoffs begin, respectively, in 11 and possibly 12 or 13 days. Basically, in the next 13 days, both the Bruins and the Celtics will have started their respective runs for a championship. Both teams have championship expectations. Celtics got out to a hot start. They went cold. They had a really bad slump. And now that they're beginning to, you know, play a lot better, like, overall as a team, which gives me hope again that they actually could put it all together in the playoffs and go on another run to the NBA Finals and actually win it this time. As for the Boston Bruins is concerned, the pressure will be nothing like we've ever seen. I'm going to say this again. When the Stanley Cup playoffs begin on April 17th, the pressure on the Boston Bruins will be nothing like we have ever seen from any other team in the history of the NHL. Because we all know at this point exactly what this team has accomplished at this point. And we all know that this team, the expectation is Stanley Cup or bust. Nothing more, nothing less. So I say all of that because I can't remember the last time, and I'm serious, I can't remember the last time in which that a team has had legitimate championship aspirations, well, both the Celtics and the Bruins, in which that it is going to impact not only the mood in the city, because I will tell you right now, my mood, once the playoffs begin, will be heavily influenced by the success or the failures of the Boston Bruins and the Celtics. I'm going to be honest with you. Because just like you, the atmosphere is going to be tense. I'm going to be tense. Every game is going to matter. Every game is going to be must-see TV. And that's part of the perks of living in the best sports city in the country. And in a year, and I'm talking about specifically a sports year or a season, in which you saw dominance from the Boston Celtics to start the season, and you've had the historic season from day one for the Boston Bruins, the atmosphere is going to be unbelievable. If you have any thoughts on what I'm talking about, you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show, in which I have now quote-unquote simulcasted the show, this specific segment of the show, on Twitter Live at Shukri Writes. So if you're watching the Twitter Live broadcast, I salute you, I acknowledge you, I see you, and I appreciate you. So, beginning April 16th, possibly, and I mean possibly, the Celtics NBA playoffs will begin. The NBA playoffs will start around, let's say, April 15th, from what I understand. April 15th is when the NBA playoffs starts. It wouldn't surprise me if the Celtics started the NBA playoffs on the April 16th. That would be on a Sunday. The Bruins, it wouldn't surprise me if the Boston Bruins started their playoff run on Marathon Monday. And Marathon Monday is April 17th. And for those of you that are just tuning in live to the Twitter Live broadcast, I'm talking about specifically that audience, and as well as my radio audience as well, I'm talking about something that we need to talk about in terms of acknowledging the reality for what it is. In less than 2 weeks' time, every single sports fan in this city is going to be glued to either the TV or the radio over the course of Lord knows how long, what we all hope will be over the next 2 months. We're all going to be glued to the radio and TV because every single game of the Boston Bruins and the Boston Celtics, we are all going to be on pins and needles emotionally. I will, even as a radio host and broadcaster, I will. If I sat here and said to you that, oh no, it's no big deal, I'm just going to be cool, calm, and collective, I'd be a liar, and I'd be lying to you. I'd be lying to you if I said to you that beginning game one for both the Celtics and the Bruins playoffs, I am going to be cool, calm, and collected. I would be lying. And here's why. Because I know already that I am going to be as invested as I've ever been for every single game. And I don't even care whether if they're home or away. Obviously, if they're home, yeah, I plan to be around. I plan to be around the Garden, God willing. Working at the Garden, God willing. But I absolutely plan to be watching every single game. I mean, when you have two teams like the Bruins and the Celtics who have championship aspirations, and they're just not like, oh, well, let's see what happens when the playoff starts. Anything can happen. No, we've known for a while that both teams have legitimate chances of winning a championship in both of their respective sports. Now, folks, we can smell it. We can taste it. We can see the finish line of the regular season for both the Boston Celtics and the Bruins. The Celtics regular season ends on Sunday, for God's sakes. 1 o'clock tip-off against the Atlanta Hawks. The Bruins regular season ends April 13th, north of the border in Montreal. Against the hated Montreal Canadiens, I should also add. To hell with them. But you get my point. When the playoffs begin, I want to know, honestly, from you, the listener, and those that are watching on Twitter Live, how are you going to feel? How are you going to feel when the playoffs begin? Some of you will say, well, duh, I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be no. Like, no. Tell me your unfiltered, unadulterated emotions. How are you going to feel once game one for the Celtics playoffs begin and game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs when the Bruins begin? How are you going to feel? I'll start with myself. Raw, unadulterated, and unapologetic. Celtics-wise, I'm going to be feeling excited. I am going to be critical, at times a little too critical, and I'm not talking about going down the rabbit hole of Felger, no. I'm talking about being critical as to is the things that we saw during the regular season from the Celtics that plagued them at times, is it going to rear its ugly head come the playoffs? That is something I'm going to be watching for intensely and intently. I'm going to be watching for that. For as far as for the Boston Bruins is concerned, I am going to be really, and I mean really, out of my mind. I will admit, I will be making a lot of videos, a lot of content on social media, but I am going to be on a whole nother level because someone brought this point up on Twitter the other day, and I thought it was a phenomenal point, and I want to touch on this now, and it led me to do some thinking. If the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, and we're not ignoring the Boston Celtics by any chance of the imagination, but we're talking from a historical standpoint, if the Boston Bruins win the Stanley Cup this season, are we talking about this Bruins team being arguably the greatest team, single season team in NHL history? And I thought that was a really phenomenal question. And my honest answer to that is a resounding yes. Especially if they can somehow break the single season wins record. They're two wins away from tying the record. They got a win on Thursday tomorrow against the Toronto Maple Leafs at TD Garden, and as well Saturday night, which is a national televised game on ABC against the New Jersey Devils, an 8 o'clock puck drop for that one. If they win those two games, they'll tie the record. And if they somehow could break the single season points record and they go on to win the cup, I don't see how you say that this Bruins team isn't the greatest single season team of all time. And what's even more remarkable is this. And I'm dead serious. What's even more remarkable is that, and I keep thinking about this, and whenever game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs is whether if it's on Monday, April 17th or Tuesday, April 18th, whichever one, I'm going to come back to this point, and I'm going to say this emphatically. If we go back to July of last year, last summer, 2022, right? If we went back to that time period and we have a whole gathering of Bruin fans, whether they be in media, whether if they be just the casual fan or the hardcore fans, even themselves, obviously. And you go back to July of last year and you ask them, what is your expectation for the Boston Bruins in 2022-2023? I promise you, I don't think a single one of them would have said to you this team was going to be the single greatest team potentially of all time. I don't think anyone would have said that this team was going to set a new franchise record for most wins in a season. I don't think that was going to be the answer. I'll tell you the truth. My answer would have been, just get me to December. Tread water, get me to December, make sure you're in the wild card race, and then when you get Brad Marchand, Charlie McAvoy, and Matt Grizzlick healthy, we'll go from there. No one would have foreseen this. So that's why I say when the season began for the Boston Bruins, I didn't see this happening at all. But for the Boston Celtics on the other side of it, we expected the Celtics to be a championship contending team. We expected banner number 18. But with everything that happened and everything that transpired, with former head coach Ime Udoka prior to the start of the season, there were legitimate question marks. Is this team still going to be able to play at a championship level and not just meet championship expectations, but also exceed championship expectations and win banner number 18? That was the question last September. And here we are now. The Celtics got 3 regular season games left. Just 3. And we can smell the playoffs from a distance. It's here, folks. It's here. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. As I am here with you until 11 a.m. Eastern. The show started on time this morning, thankfully. And we have touched on a few topics already. We got more to get into. Hour number 2 of the show here on the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, as mentioned, hour number 2 of the show. I am wondering, how many of you are really feeling the new changes in Major League Baseball? We got to talk about it, right? And we are going to talk about it. That's on the other side of this break coming up here on the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuscaloosa, from radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn radio app, globally on WMFO.org.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it 5, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We've got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and keep heaters 3 feet away from anything that can burn. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov, because fire is everyone's fight.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Kisses of the sun were sweet, I didn't blink, I let it in my eyes. Like an exotic drink, the radio playing songs that I have never heard. I don't know what to say. Oh, not another.